We return to what is our public scripture reading this morning, which is Psalm 58. Psalm 58. Psalm 58 is what is called an imprecatory psalm, where David is calling for God to judge the unjust, ungodly rulers. The great point of psalms like this is that God will intervene in history to judge the worst sins and permit righteousness to flourish. But in addition to the primary purpose of imprecatory psalms, they also work to remind us as God's people that we are not in any way to be implicated with the evil of these evildoers. In other words, Psalm 58 and others like it are stressing to God's people, don't be anything like the wicked who are so impervious to correction. Psalm 58 can be divided up under three very simple headings. We have the charge, the curse, and the cleansing. The charge, the curse, and the cleansing. First, there's the charge, verses 1 through 5. Do you indeed decree what is right, you gods, or, better understood, you mighty lords? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? Verse 2 answers the rhetorical questions. No. In your hearts you devise wrongs. Your hands deal out violence on earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking lies. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like the deaf adder that stops its ear, so that it does not hear the voice of charmers or of the cunning enchanter. In these five verses, opening up Psalm 58, the rulers, the magistrates, are first called out for their corruption in how they judge their subjects. And thus David says, do you indeed decree what is right, you mighty lords? Do you judge the children of man uprightly? And as we just read, the answer is no. Why? Because in their hearts, they devise wrong. Their hands deal out violence on the earth. And so David begins by calling them out for this kind of corruption. But this corrupt judging, as the passage goes on to reveal, is the result of hearts which are corrupt from birth, which shows itself in the lies they tell and by the indifference they show to the appeals made to them to do what is right. And that is the imagery that David is giving us here of the serpent, the deaf adder that stops its ears, that does not hear the voice, as it were, of its charmers or the cunning enchanter. No matter how many appeals are made to these particular magistrates, they're deaf to such appeals. Appeals to do what is right. Appeals to do what is just. These magistrates do not hear. From the charge, there's then the curse. The curse. Verses 6 through 9. O God, break the teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of the young lions, O Lord. Let them vanish like water that runs away. When he aims his arrows, let them be blunted. Let them be like the snail that dissolves into slime, like the stillborn child who never sees the sun. Sooner than your pots can feel the heat of thorns, whether green or ablaze, may he being the Lord, sweep them away. David now prays for God's judgment to fall on these wicked rulers, to curse them. And what does he pray for? Several things. He prays that God would defang these judges. He prays that they would vanish quickly, like running water, that their words will come to no effect, which is the idea behind he aims his arrows, let them be blunted. David prays further that their pathway will be their self-destruction, and that their life, the life of these wicked magistrates, would be like the stillborn child dead at birth. Does that make you feel uneasy? That there is such a prayer like this in the Word of God? It shouldn't. There are Christians who have a problem with that. There are Christians who think, how could David pray that? Well, let me remind you of something. David was inspired of the Holy Spirit. These words are not the words of David per se. They are the words of God. The infallible, inerrant, divine words of the living God, breathed out by God, theopneustos. All scripture, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, is breathed out by God. This is therefore breathed out by God. You have a problem with this, friend, you have a problem with God. These words are very harsh. But let us pause and remember the context. The context. David, acting as God's representative, is pleading with God to intervene and judge these wicked, evil rulers, these godless magistrates who were dealing out violence against the people that they were ruling, who were deceiving them by their corruption. And David prays, Lord, judge them. And judge them most thoroughly. Cut them off. Sweep them away. Destroy them. Do you think this psalm is fitting for our times? Do we have wicked rulers in this nation? Do we have evil magistrates in this nation? We have an entire political party that has one driving platform, the platform of death. And how should we pray? How should we beseech the Lord to deal with such evil in our own times? Senators, congressmen, judges, presidents and their administration. Corrupt, deceiving, and, as I just said, many of them driven to establish by a federal mandate to see the infanticide of unborn children by the mere choice of a parent who would not want them. That is evil. That is wicked. And our God is a holy God. Don't you forget that. He is a God who is just. He is a God who judges. And David is calling upon the Lord here, hey, not to have mercy on them. Kill them. Kill them all. Sweep them away. And I can hear many mamsy-pamsy Christians cringing at that, having a problem with that, because imprecatory psalms make them nervous. They misinterpret these psalms as if they're psalms about revenge. No, they're not. They're psalms that are pleading and crying out to God to intervene and judge the ruthless rulers. Do you think that there were Christians in Germany praying Psalm 58 about Hitler? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there were. What about Stalin? Yes. And we could go down the list of so many other evil, wicked rulers. This psalm is more practical than what we can imagine. And especially at this time in our own nation. Well, David prays for God to curse him. And then there's something finally we see in verses 10 and 11. That is the cleansing. The cleansing. Look at it. The righteous will rejoice when he sees the vengeance. What vengeance? God's vengeance. The righteous will do what? Say, oh no, Lord, don't do that. No, the righteous will rejoice. They will rejoice when they see God's vengeance. And look at this. He will bathe his feet in the blood of the wicked. Wow. Graphic language. That's how much he's going to rejoice. That's how much the people of God are going to rejoice in the vengeance of God upon the wicked. Let me just bathe my feet in their blood. This is how much I'm going to enjoy this. But look at what verse 11 says. Mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. What are these last two verses telling us? These final two verses of Psalm 58 are a prophecy. This is prophecy. That the wicked will be judged by God and the righteous will be rewarded. But the moral of this prophecy, and you need to listen closely to this, the moral of this prophecy is that despite how long judgment tarries, it will come. And when it does, God will vindicate his people. And don't think his people are the Republican Party. That is not who we're talking about. This is not a political party. These are the people of God, born of the Spirit, justified by the blood and righteousness of Christ. The people of God, chosen by God before the foundation of the world. God will vindicate his true people when the judgment comes. And that's the reason why you read in verse 11, mankind will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely there is a God who judges on earth. So what must we do in light of this? We must look on our present times with a long view. With a very long view. Because God promises us his judgment is coming. His judgment is coming. Now, he shows his judgment on the wicked all through human history in many and varied ways. But we all know there is a final judgment coming, and that judgment will be ushered in at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And, as I have reminded you time and again, when Jesus Christ returns, does he return to make peace? No, he does not. Revelation 19:11 says, he comes to make war. He comes to make war. War on who? War on the wicked. War on those who have denied him, who have opposed him, who hate him. And there are many people like that who, listen, who hold positions of authority in our very nation as judges, senators, congressmen, even as presidents. And they will get their comings up. Yes, they will. And we, not the United States, no, the Church of Jesus Christ, we will be vindicated. We will be vindicated. Vindicated by God. Because the wicked will see that we were right all along, because we were standing with the one who is righteous, Jesus Christ. So when you think about the times right now in which we are living in this nation, when you think in particular about the coming presidential election in November, you need to turn to Psalm 58. Take this psalm as your prayer. And pray that God will have mercy on this nation. That the Lord will judge the wicked. Because as the people of God, who do you think is going to suffer the most under another wicked ruler? It's going to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Because you see, magistrates like this, who they're really opposed to is God. And so who they really hate are the people of God. And so everything they aim at to do in all their rulings is ultimately to destroy the name of Jesus Christ. And so may we take this portion of God's word with the seriousness it deserves and pray it back to the Lord, not just today, but let us return to it again and again. And pray for God to bring his vengeance, to vindicate his people in a land like ours that is largely and vastly becoming more and more a nation that is secular in every way, that is more overt in its opposition and hatred of the Lord. Let us pray. Our holy and righteous God, we beseech you this day, O Lord, as your servant David did long ago. And we beseech you with the prayer which the Spirit gave David to pray as it concerned the evil, wicked, godless magistrates of his own times. For Lord, as you well know, and know altogether, such magistrates are among us, even in this nation. And so, Father, we call upon you, realizing, Lord, that the war and the battle that is before us is spiritual. And so it is not with carnal weapons that we fight this war, It is with spiritual weapons. And so we turn to you. And with your servant David, we cry out to you today. That, Lord, you would show your vengeance on the wicked rulers, even in our own nation. That you would break the teeth in their mouths. That you would tear out the fangs of these young lions. That you would let them vanish like water that runs away. That you would blunt the arrows they aim by their words against your people. That their evil words would come to no effect. And we pray, Lord, that all their plans would self-destruct. That like the snail that dissolves into slime, we pray, O God, that their actions would dissolve as well, come to nothing. And we pray further, Lord, that in your great and holy vengeance, you would cut them off like the stillborn child who never sees the sun. Sweep these evildoers away. And Father, we pray that in their place, in your great mercy and kindness, for the glory of your name, for the good of your church in this very nation, we pray that such evil rulers would be replaced with righteous rulers. Those who fear the Lord. Heavenly Father, we know that you can raise up such. And so we pray and plead that you would carry this out for the glory, for the honor of your name, for the greater advancement of your kingdom in this very nation. We beseech you, for the sake and the honor of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.